This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, I watch a lot of these TV shows on Velocity and Discovery and all the different cable channels, all these car shows. A lot of them are fun. Some of them are kind of wackadoodle, but you make some friends along the way. One of the friends I've made is from Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel, my friend Dennis Collins from Collins Brothers Jeep, Black Mountain Jeep Products. He's out of Dallas, Texas, and killing it out there. I know both of us are getting ready for SEMA, the Specialty Equipment Market Association trade show. It's all things aftermarket for the auto industry. It's like a $50 billion a year industry. And you know what? It's the personalization of your automobile is what SEMA is all about. They don't talk about cars. It's about what's been done to those cars, trucks, SUVs, all different types. And it's all the cool stuff. And there's one guy out there that specializes in Jeep, and it happens to be Dennis Collins. And what is Dennis doing for SEMA, Dennis?
Here's what we're bringing to SEMA. We perfected the 6.4 Hemi JL build, and now we have got a Hill Crate in a new JL that we're going to have running, driving, and everything operating properly at 707 horsepower in a new Wrangler.
Nice. You know, and
do you need one?
Yeah, you know what I do? I was literally just saying the other night, I was with a buddy of mine. He's got, what do they call them, flat fender, you know, like a 40 or 41. And I said, you know, when they put a Hellcat engine in a Jeep, the JL like you're talking about, or the new Jeep truck that's coming out, I'm going to have to buy one. But you're already doing it. That's why they will eventually do it, is because guys like you, and not many, but guys like you have the courage to take these masterpieces of engineering and electronics that allow these cars to be smog legal and have 707 horsepower and run on regular pump gas. And that is just phenomenal. I can't even imagine what that does. Have you driven one with a Hellcat engine in it yet?
Absolutely. We drove one last week that we had on 40s, and it would literally smoke the 40s, and that's a big car.
All four of them. That's awesome. How big of a job is it to do that, by the way, Dennis?
Talk about dollars or time. I kind of want to look at it more time.
Yeah, well, you know, that's it goes both ways, because I imagine it's a huge dollar amount, but time-wise, it's got to be a big job either way.
To do the 6.4, we can do those around at 200 hours, and we will eventually get those where we can do it shorter than that. This first Hellcat build, since there is a learning curve in that to get everything right, we'll probably have 300 hours into that.
Oh.
And eventually knock it down to 200 hours.
Good Lord.
But we'll also have more than one bay doing the conversion. So somebody out there needs a 6.4 or a 6.2 conversion on their JK or their JL, we transport it worldwide and bring it into our shop, and when it's done, it'll be done right.
Man, it seems to me like you guys also built a, what would be called back in the day, a scrambler, a Jeep truck. What do they call that, a Brute? Are you guys building that, or did somebody else build it?
They called them a JK8, and we built a lot of the JK8s until the kits ran out. And then after that, it was AEV was building the Brute trucks. We have built a few of them because we started building them in 16. We had some customers in 2018 that wanted them, so we still can build the Brute truck in-house. We've got enough parts left to build, maybe three or four more, and that's it.
Man, oh, man. So did you hear the news that our friend Tim Kaniskis, who was the head of passenger cars, including Dodge, who built the Demon and the Red Eye and the 1320 and all these awesome machines that Dodge has, is now in charge of Jeep. I can only imagine that this is his next, his next foray into high horsepower machines, don't you think?
Man, I hope so. I had the honor to talk to him again at Roadkill recently, and I think I've just about gotten talked into letting us put the 6.4 in his personal driver. So hopefully that'll help and push him towards that.
That is awesome. All right, well, hang tight. Let me take a little break here, and we'll talk more about what's going on in the world of Dennis Collins. You see him on television with his buddy Richard Rawlings on Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel. He's the guy in the background quietly doing everything and making all the money quietly, honestly, without having to be a wacky, crazy, wild cheerleader of a guy like his buddy Richard is. I don't know how Richard keeps it up. It would kill me. The guy's an animal. This is The Drive. We're going to come right back with more of Dennis Call and see what else is going on in his world. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. All right, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. We're going to be at the big trade show in Las Vegas the very end of October and the first 2 days of November. Trade show is called SEMA, the Specialty Equipment Market Association trade show, SEMA.org, S-E-M-A.org. Dennis is going to have a Hellcat-powered Jeep Wrangler on display there with, where's it going to be, actually? Who's it going to be on display with, Dennis?
It is going to be the booth called Levrack, L-E-V-R-A-C-K. They're the guys that are revolutionizing warehousing.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, so, okay, well, wait a minute. Are these the guys that are on Richard's show? What's that show called?
Garage Rehab. They're going to be in booth 72004 in the Central Hall.
Okay.
And I'll be there.
All right, very good. And then what else I want to talk to you about is the barn find stuff that you guys do. So Dennis has a website and ads going for like some 30 years of, you know, we'll buy old cars. Or what is it actually called again?
We're at classicsdeadoralive.com.
That's it.
And we've been running wanted dead or alive ads for the past 34 years. And we've had last couple of weeks has been, we had some really good finds. We just picked up a 52 XK120 Jag Roadster. What was really neat is it's S in front of the serial number makes a special equipment call. Really desirable Jag. It's been parked for about 28 years.
Wow.
And oddly enough, we also found another Mopar, a 68 Charger. You know, like the platform where they built the bullet car?
Yep.
That's been in a Quanta for 28 years.
Jeez.
And then we found 2 63 Roasters and a 67 big block Corvette coupe that have all been parked in a barn since 82.
You know, what's funny is when I was a kid, I used to do the same thing. You were smart enough to put ads in the Dallas newspaper. And then, of course, when the web got invented, started putting, you know, web ads out there. And again, so for people that want to, if somebody's listening to the show and they know where something is, the website is what?
ClassicsDeadOrLive.com.
So where is the farthest away you've had to go to buy a classic that you've, somebody called you and said, hey, I got it, but I live in, you know, South Dakota or Holland or where, you know, where have you been?
As far as the furthest place that I've gone in the U.S. is Walla Walla, Washington, which is about as far as you can possibly go. And I bought a 1934 Mark IV Jaguar drophead, which is extremely rare with 13,000 original miles on it.
Cool, man.
But as far as out of the country, I've been just about everywhere.
So now, what is Kelsey doing these days? It seems like I saw her in a McLaren the other day.
Kelsey, for the past week, has been with the McLaren team that's here in town. And she actually interviewed the president of McLaren, Tony Joseph, got to drive his personal car, got to drive the new 720S and take it to the track, and the 570S. And then she emceed the concourse in Dallas that Park Place put on at the Four Seasons. So she's busy this week.
Unbelievable. So she's done Barrett Jackson stage with me, and you've been on the stage as well. But this is Dennis's daughter, Kelsey Collins, who is a rising star. I can see her having a TV show at some point. No question about that. Well, that's cool. The family that works together sticks together as long as the dad has got his head screwed on straight. So, Dad, it's on your shoulders to keep things together there.
It's on straight and tight.
That's good. How about Black Mountain Jeep?
A big pair of crashing pliers.
Yeah, exactly. How about Black Mountain Jeep? What's going on there?
Well, we're still working on our new JL line, the 2018 and up Jeeps. We've got the front bumpers done, got the sidebars done, got a 2.5-inch lift kit done, 4-inch lift, wheels. We have just gone into production with a heavy-duty rear tire carrier and our rear bumper. So we should have the full JL line done in the next, 60 days. But we're already building stage 1, 2, and 3 for dealerships. As a matter of fact, we've got 3 of Chop Tobin's brand new JLs here that we're putting into stage 1, 2, and 3. So those will be heading to Vegas soon. If you guys want to see them, go to Prestige, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and they usually keep a good stock of Black Mountain units already built.
Nice. And how's the business going? I know you guys are looking for, what do you call them, partners or whatever to sell the products around the country. How's that going?
We're licensees, and that's going really well. We're going to take on 2 more between now and the end of the year. That has gone well, and that's basically a big buy-in in parts, and then we teach the program.
Nice, nice.
So we're looking for 2 more by the end of the year.
Well, Jeep is on fire, and knowing Tim Kaniskis as you and I do, who is now the president, it's only going to get better. Jeep products are going to just continue to get more fun. CollinsBrothersJeep.com, also Black Mountain. It's a BLKMTN for Black Mountain, BLKMTNJeep.com. Dennis Collins, thank you, brother. We look forward to seeing you out in SEMA.
Yes, sir. Have a great day. I'll see you in SEMA.
All right. Say hi to Kelsey Collins, your daughter, and Kimberly Collins, your wife. Two of the best. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So a friend of mine calls me this morning and he says, my father-in-law called me and said, do you want to buy this 2017 Ford Escape with 500 miles? And I'm like, 500 miles? He says, yeah, he's 89 years old. He bought a new car last year and he finally came to the conclusion that he's only driven it 500 miles in a year and that he just shouldn't be driving anymore. God bless the man for having enough sense to know there is a point in your life that you should just let somebody else drive you around. So I said to him, what do you want? What does he want? He says, well, take it around to some dealers and see what they'll give you for it just to buy it outright. He paid like $30,000 for it. It's a nice loaded little Escape. The Escape is kind of the small Ford SUV, not the smallest one because they make one smaller than the Escape. Anyway, he paid like $30,000. The one dealer offered him $20,000 with 500 miles. He goes, we've got brand new cars more than 500 miles on them. He says, I know. So he's like, man, he lost $10,000 in 1 year. He goes, I'm thinking about buying. I said, well, if you don't want to buy it, I want to buy it. So depreciation, that's what we're talking about right here. 1 year, one third the value is gone, which is what happens to many new cars. You better enjoy that first year. Brian Moody's joining us. He is the executive editor of Autotrader.com, powered by Kelley Blue Book, of course. Two companies under one big roof, Cox Communications or Cox Automotive, of which you guys hear me on with Kelley Blue Book, Carl Brower, who's kind of the big cheese over there. Explain what that is, because I saw a commercial the other day that said, Autotrader now powered by Kelley Blue Book. Can you give a quick kind of an explanation of what's going on there, Brian?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So Kelley Blue Book, obviously, you know them for having the Blue Book value or evaluations. Auto Trader, you know, as a place where you go to buy a car. Now you can do all that in one place. So Auto Trader, you're looking for listings. You look, say you find a car you want, and you're like, well, I'm going to go look up the Blue Book value for that car. They don't want you to leave. They want you to be able to do it right there, and now you can. That's the idea.
Brilliant.
Not bad, yeah.
Well, it's like
people smarter than me coming up with this.
I remember when they came out with this candy called the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I love those commercials. You know, the guy is walking along eating his peanut butter, and somebody's eating a candy bar, and that's kind of what happened to you guys. You know,
two great tastes that taste great together.
That's right.
You got peanut butter in my chocolate.
It's too good, man. So let's talk. Speaking of branding, right? Because you know now it's like one of the great brands of the world is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup,
right?
But, you know, it's funny because depreciation is a really big thing, and a brand makes a big difference sometimes. Like for me, I always look for a car that's going to hold its value so I won't lose quite so much. And I've done, you know, fortunately, I bought a Shelby GT500, did well on that one. I just got this new Dodge Demon. I know I'm going to do well on that one because they made it's a one-year car. But that doesn't happen for everybody. You got any examples of that?
Yeah, so we just actually wrote something on Auto Trader about the Jeep Renegade and the Fiat 500X. So in case people don't know, and there's good reason to suspect they don't know, because in 2017, Jeep sold 103,000 Renegades, and Fiat sold about 8,500Xs.
What? Wow.
So, yeah, so there you go. Right. But, I mean, it also has to do with dealership network. It has to do with branding. It has to do with Fiat wasn't in this country for a long time. So I think there's a fair... you know, fair assessment that Fiat's going to have to get back up to speed in the U.S. if they want to stay and be competitive.
Right.
But here's the wrinkle, is that these two cars are mechanically very, very similar. Mm. And, you know, they look different enough, but in terms of what they are, a small SUV with all-wheel drive, a nice interior, a funky look, bright colors, that kind of thing. They're depreciating at different rates. So right now, if you were to go look for a used Fiat 500X, it would be much less expensive. Say you could get one for $15,000 for a 2017 with, you know, 12,000-13,000 miles on it.
Wow.
That same Jeep, though, a 2017 with the same features, you're going to be paying $10,000, maybe $15,000 more. And at what point are we just admitting that we're paying for the brand? Because mechanically, they're... you know, I wouldn't say they're identical, but it makes a lot of sense to go looking for cars that depreciate quicker if you want to buy, you know, if you want to value. But right. If you're the person buying it new, like you said, you do want to, you know, there's wisdom in keeping your Honda Odyssey for a long time because it's going to depreciate much more slowly than, say, Chrysler Pacifica, as an example.
Right. And actually, the Chrysler Pacifica is a really good van.
So, I think it's actually, I like it better than the Honda Odyssey. And when you take out expected reliability and depreciation, I think that the Pacifica comes out a little bit better. Like, it's nicer. It has, you know, the Odyssey is a great van, too. It's actually more fun to drive, I believe. But the Pacifica is a little bit more luxurious. But this example of the Fiat 500X and the Jeep Renegade, one depreciating much more rapidly than the other, just kind of tells you, you know, what you should be looking for when you're buying a new car, or what, how you might be looking for something different if you're getting a used car, because I like the Fiat 500X.
I know.
I think it's fun to drive, the interior is nice, and it looks just different enough. I would go for one of those, but kind of crazy how branding isn't just, you know, nonsense anymore like it used to be.
Well, and I own a Fiat 500 Abarth that we've had. It's our second one. She put, my wife drives these little cars around, 40,000 miles on her first one, 2012, and zero problems in 40,000 miles. Found one in the newspaper with 1,500 original miles, 3 years newer, bought that. We're just loving these little cars. And I think, you know, somebody paid $30,000 for it brand new.
Exactly.
I bought it for $14,000 with 1,500 miles on it. We'll take a little break. Come back with more of Brian Moody and Auto Trader. This is The Drive. You make a man dream come true.
You can spend this fall hauling bags of leaves to the curb or hauling Hurry in to your local Dodge dealership for great deals on Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower and 30 mpg highway. Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Dodge Durango. This fall, get great deals at your local Dodge dealership. EPA estimated MPG. Actual results may vary based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. You know, I happen to be a big V8 guy. I love the sound of a V8. I also happen to love V10s. We're not going to see V10s anymore. I don't think we're going to see V12s anymore. You got the W12s and all these bizarre things coming out. But everybody's going V6. I mean, look at the Ford GT, twin turbo V6, the Ford Raptor V6. What happened to V8s? I love a V8. Of course, now Dennis Collins from Fast and Loud Gas Monkey Garage and Collins Brothers Jeep just got done. We were talking earlier about stuffing a Hellcat engine V8, 707 horsepower, in a Jeep Wrangler. I love that. Yeah. Brian Moody's with us. He's Auto Trader's executive editor. So V8s, I don't know what it is. I'm just a big engine guy. And I think that's why classic cars will always do good, because we're going to keep getting smaller and smaller engines. I just got done driving the new Volvo S 60 sedan and the V wagon that they're making. And these Volvos they're talking about making everything electric, but right now they only offer four cylinders. You can either buy a four-cylinder turbo, or you can buy the four-cylinder turbocharged and supercharged. And then, you know, of course, add hybrid to it, and you got 415 horsepower. So with smaller engines and electrification of the automobile, they're just not going to be doing as many V8s. And I hate that, Brian.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you why I like. It's not about power, because some of the cars that you just mentioned, Ford does a great job of giving, I think you can get 400 horsepower or more out of that EcoBoost V6. So it's powerful. I'm not against them. But here's what I think you're responding to, and I think this is what I respond to also. For one, it's the sound.
Yep.
It's just the
music.
Second,
the music out of the exhaust pipe, yeah.
And second, I think one of the important things is that, like, those V8s, they deliver the power from a place of abundance. You're not maxed out EMs. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, that's the part that I think I really love about. It's delivering the power from a place of abundance. And if you're one of those people that wants a V8 instead of a V6, we found a bunch on Auto Trader that were like, hey, these are some serious cars, maybe a year or two or three old with a V8 versus a new car that has a V6. I'll give you a couple of examples. Yeah. The Chrysler 300 is a good example. The Dodge Challenger SRT8, it's not the top dog, but if you get a 2014, you're looking at a pretty good deal on a very powerful car.
Yeah.
The previous BMW E92 M3, amazing. That's the one with the V8. That's what everyone says.
Right.
And here's my favorite, the Chevy SS, the forgotten muscle car.
I know.
Right? Amazing car, though. What a great sound it makes. It's almost like people joke and say, well, that's the M5 that we should have had.
Right. Now, so the Chevy SS, are you talking about the sedan, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and I don't even see them. Where are they? I don't even see one.
Under 30 grand.
Wow.
For a 2015 Chevy SS.
You know what? And it's funny. I wonder, I'll bet that's a low production vehicle, because I don't think they did a good enough job telling the world about the SS. I mean, listen, if you're a classic car guy, you're like, it's an SS. Oh, is it a real SS? Is it a clone SS? And then they made an SS, and I think they did away with it and were real quiet about it. I think that's one to buy.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Wow. And I think I think another one is the Chrysler 300S. It's not, you know, not everyone knows about it, but it's kind of like the sport version. It's kind of like, remember there used to be a 300 SRT8, and they stopped doing that.
Right.
And So if you don't want a V6 and you want a powerful V8, look for a, like a 2015, for example, Chrysler 300S. It has those cool, sporty, you know, styling cues, darked out wheels, black grille,
right,
that kind of stuff. Under $30,000 for a V8-powered Chrysler 300, I think that's a pretty good deal.
Let me ask you, what do you think is going to happen? Like, the Chrysler 300 is a good example. We'll just stop right there.
Yeah.
Here's a vehicle that for a little while dominated. I mean, that vehicle brought Chrysler from the brink of death. And, you know, great job to Chrysler for, you know, pulling it off, making a car that was kind of gangsta looking for those guys. And but was still, you know, they made them with V6s and got pretty good gas mileage and pretty good car all around. Rental car fleets had them. You could have everything that from one that looked like a Bentley to one that looked like an Avis rental car, if you know what I mean. There's nothing wrong with an Avis rental car, but sometimes they just look like rental cars, right? Hubcaps or whatever. But here is a vehicle. I don't know what the future holds for this vehicle. I think they've stopped building it. But, I mean, I don't know if that's a mistake. Ford's going away from cars altogether other than the Mustang. Is that a mistake in your opinion?
I think there's a place for those cars. And when you look at – here's a perfect example. When you look at Lexus as the example, Lexus believes that their brand as a luxury brand will always have a place for a large luxury sedan because that's almost like what you hang your reputation on, even if you don't sell a bunch, kind of like the Mustang or the Ford GT.
Right.
I think what's going to happen with the Chrysler 300 is it's going to be kind of like the Ford Crown Victoria.
Right.
At some point, people are going to realize, hey, wait a minute, we still want those. And I think aftermarket and collectors are going to have all kinds of – there's so many of them. I think the average person can still get a great V8-powered sedan for at least the next few years. Then after that, I'm not sure. They're probably going to go away because they'll get worn out. No one's thinking of those as collectible right now.
Right.
And – the collectible ones will all be snapped up.
Yeah, kind of like the Mercury Marauder. You know.
Yeah, exactly right.
And the funny thing is the car that we blow right past is Lincoln Continental, which I've heard rumor that they're going to discontinue the car already. But I don't know if it's a rumor, if it's a truth. You know how the grapevine talks.
That is a good car, but it's, again, you know, it's not what people are buying. People aren't buying luxury sedans. They're buying big luxury SUVs like the Navigator or like the MKX or the Nautilus is what it's going to be called. That's what people are buying. But if you like sedans and you like V8s, there are some great options if you just go back a year or two, three years or so, and look at some of the cars that you can afford now for the price of basically, you know, like a loaded Camry.
Example. Give me an example or two.
I'll give you an example. So a loaded Camry can be about $35,000. And if you were to look at, and this is, you know, just reserve your snickering. I'm going to use it anyway. If you were looking at something that was a V8-powered car and you wanted a supercharged V8, let's just say, you can get a Jaguar XK Touring Coupe for under $30,000. That's less than the price of a new loaded V6 Camry.
Right.
Same with Chrysler 300. Same with, if you can find a clean one, the 2015 Chevy SS.
Yeah.
And those cars, they're good cars, they're fun to drive, and they'd have that thing that you've been responding to, which is that deep sound and that torque at the bottom. I asked a cop one time, we did this story about cop cars in Los Angeles, and I was like, oh, what about high-speed chases and top speed? And they're like, that's all fantasy, that's nonsense. That's not why we have V8-powered cars. Why we have V8-powered cars is because we need to go from 0 to 30 as fast as possible. That's usually what it is, up the block,
isn't
down
it?
The way.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Wow. By the way, the conversation with my friend, why he was thinking he would not keep that car when I first started out,
right.
500 miles. He says, for $20,000, he goes, I ended up buying a BMW 5 Series, fully loaded, 50,000 miles with a 4-year bumper-to-bumper warranty, certified pre-owned. A beautiful machine, couple of years old. And it's like you can either buy what was, you know, a $75,000 car for $20,000, or you can buy a $30,000 car for $20,000. I think he made the right choice. We'll take another break.
You can go wrong.
That's right. Brian Moody, autotrader.com. You can find their stories on all this stuff, and I'm just picking out a few. We'll be right back with more of Brian. It is The Drive. Tomorrow. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. Well, you're listening to The Drive, our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I appreciate them for sponsoring our show all these years. Fantastic machine. By the way, hold on a second. I told you I wanted to talk about trucks. We'll get to that. Brian Moody's on with us from Autotrader.com. Didn't I see something about how Subaru gets Apple CarPlay exactly right?
Oh, story? My gosh. Don't even get me started on that. I'll tell you why. I'm one of those people where technology, like, I almost get more geeked out on that than the actual, like, torque and the horsepower and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
The metallurgy of the pistons, boring. But if I can put my phone in there, or I'll use my playlist, or see nice graphics of the album art, I love that. So here's what Subaru does. You know CarPlay, Apple CarPlay. You plug it in, and it has a screen that says, hey, here's your Apple screen and Android, too.
Right.
You want to do maps. You want to do texting. You want to do phone calls. Whatever it's on. Spotify is one. Whatever it's on. Here's the problem. If I'm navigating in my Apple Maps, and the reason I can do that is because you might text me an address, right?
Right.
And I plug my car into the phone. I tap that address on the text. Boom, I'm navigating in the car just like that. No punching in the letters and numbers and is it south by east, west? I don't know.
Right.
So I'm navigating, but I'm also listening to the radio. And I want to know, well, who sings this song?
Right.
The one you were just playing a second ago. Who's what? Eagle Eye, what? I got to find that out.
No, that was James Brown. I feel good.
Well, all right. I'm thinking way back.
Yeah, okay.
I just woke up. Give me a break.
No. Well, that was the segment before. Yeah, stay in the right segment,
there
will you?
So how will I find out who sings that song that's playing on my iPod or on my iPhone without getting rid of the map? Well, I have to keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now, some cars have a screen in the middle of the IP that will tell you the musical source, but it usually just says iPhone source USB. It doesn't give me the name of the artist. The Subaru, in the Subaru Crosstrek, and I think a few others, has two screens. At the top, there's a screen that can be like gauges, like, you know, like transmission temperature, all that kind of stuff, you know, when you're like thinking you're racing to work. Or you can make that screen show the music. Apple CarPlay will say Fleetwood Mac, album name, song name, and something else. While the Apple Maps still stays on the main screen in the car, it's a brilliant solution. I wish more people did it, and I'm shocked that Subaru is doing it in a low-priced car like the Crosstrek. Everybody else should be ashamed of themselves.
You're right. I got to tell you, when you get into these cars, because you and I both drive, you know, something new almost every other day.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they're intuitive and the car does what you would expect it to
right.
do intuitively, you are so thankful. It makes you feel better about the car. Hence the reason that Subaru buyers and owners love their cars, because they've done things intuitively throughout the last decade or more. Their cars just keep getting more and more intuitive, and owner loyalty is high. How can a company have this slogan, love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru? Because the first thing when you say to somebody is, how do you like your Subaru? They go, I love my car.
I love it.
Right? So, I mean, that these are the reasons.
And people always say, I hate technology. I don't want all the technology.
Right.
No, you don't. You hate bad technology.
Right.
Good technology should make your life easier. If it doesn't, it's just in the way. Don't buy that car.
That's exactly right. It's so funny because my dad calls me, who's 90, and he says to me, you know, somebody's stolen something out of my phone. He's British. And I'm like, what do you mean? He couldn't find it, right? And so, and it's funny because he wants the new iPhone. I'm like, Dad, you don't want it because you have a learning curve. You are not going to be able to understand it. It's going to take too much because now there's no home button. You swipe. And it's like, listen, car companies, when you can make things intuitive that will do what it should do to somebody who is not a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist, you know, or a you know, a Apple genius at the genius bar, then you have a winner. And but here's the funny part.
I agree.
And still put in 19 cup holders. That to me, that's how you win. You got to take care of everybody. You got to be too legit to quit, right? Hold on. We got to get over to the trucks now. Thank you, Subaru, for doing a great job building great cars. Thanks for sponsoring our show for all these, I don't know, it's been like a decade. I love having best of brand companies that I get to work with on this show. Subaru is one of them. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Brian Moody is the executive editor at Autotrader.com. You can find him at Autotrader.com. They have all kinds of great stories, just like the one about Apple gets CarPlay exactly right. Just look for some of the reviews. This is The Drive. We'll be right back. Here's some MC Hammer.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
So our guest today, my buddy Brian Moody, executive editor, autotrader.com. You guys, seriously, now that they are so yoked with Kelley Blue Book, the Bible of the pricing guide, you know, in the industry, the auto industry, for forever and ever. I mean, it's like 100 years or something. You now don't have to look nearly as hard to find out what things are worth because, of course, this big company, as it Cox Communications, owns both of them. And that's great.
True.
Great stuff. All right, let's talk trucks. We've been talking cars and V8s. And what do you guys got going on in the truck world?
So here's what we came up with. We came up with this kind of challenge ourselves. What's the best Chevy Silverado you can get for $30,000? Personally, I like the Silverado. I don't know that I'm going to say that it's the best truck, my professional opinion, but my personal opinion is that I like GM stuff. I like the new GMC Sierra. I like the Silverado quite a bit. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's my personal preference.
Yeah.
So for $30,000, here's what you can get. You can get a brand new Chevy Silverado short bed, the base trim. So not much going on, but you do get a 5.3-liter V8. You know, that's a pretty bad little truck. Short bed, standard cab. I like those. That's kind of to my liking. However, again, with the depreciation, if you just step back a year or two, so let's just say you get a 2016, 2017, you can get an LTZ Silverado, which has all the bells and whistles, heated seats, LED lights, trailer package. You could even get a Z71 off-road suspension, underbody protection, hill descent control, all this kind of stuff. And that's a way that you can get, you know, the most bang for your buck if you have about $30,000 to spend. Now, some people are just going to say, oh, I just want a new car. Okay, well, that's fine. There's a couple of Silverados you can pick from, brand new 2018 models for about $30,000. But right, if you really want, you know, all the bells and whistles, go back a few years, get a certified pre-owned, like you said. And then you get, like, can you imagine a Silverado LTZ? That's the, like, the, that's like loaded for about $30,000. That's a pretty nice truck. So that's the way to go if you're shopping. That's what I would do. You know, everyone's got their opinions about new versus used, but man, certified pre-owned makes it hard to argue against a good used truck for about $30,000 like the Silverado.
You know, and I am a person that can speak from experience because I just recently bought a Ram 3500 crew cab, four-wheel drive, I don't know, whatever the top-of-the-line deal is. And it had a window sticker, which was in it, of $70,000. And I bought it with 3,000 miles for $54,000, right? So, I mean, I literally took that first hit of depreciation. It was I bought it in the early part. No, wait a minute. I bought it in December of 2017. and it was a 2017 model. So somebody had bought it, took it on one trip, and went, wow, this is way too much one-ton dually for my little trailer, and decided they could...
truck for me.
Yeah, they could, and they put air... They actually added airbags and air suspension to it, so on top of everything else, it had extras and running boards and some other things.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so then that's, you know, probably another $2,000 or $3,000. So the certified pre-owned thing, and then I bought a bumper-to-bumper 100,000-mile, 9-year extended warranty. 9 years!
Because I'm kidding around.
Right? I'm not kidding around. It was because it was a bargain. So these amazing warranties that you get. So here's another story. Those amazing warranties are really awesome, by the way. My son-in-law just bought a 2015 Duramax Z71 LTZ, and I did not know those had hill descent control on them, and he was showing it to me.
Isn't that cool?
Yesterday I was like, what? You know, they have exhaust brake, and he got the diesel with the Duramax.
Right.
Check this out though. It had 100,000 miles, and I go, what are you doing buying a truck with 100,000 miles? He goes, are you kidding me? This thing, the motor and transmission are good for 500,000 miles. That's nothing. And we had this huge argument because I told him he was crazy because he spent $30,000. He says, look it, let me show you something. The book value on the thing is $39,000 for a used truck with 100,000 miles. Just shows
wow.
you how, you know, that's how those things are holding their value.
Yeah,
Brian.
They are.
Amazing trucks, man. People are buying them like crazy.
If people are looking for new trucks, here's what I say. Ford and Chevy are fine. But do yourself a favor. Go out and drive the Ram and drive the GMC.
Yeah.
They're two brands not everyone's thinking about top of mind always. Those two trucks are amazing trucks. If you end up getting a Ford, great. Good for you. But don't skip the Ram or the GMC. They're both excellent trucks, and they deserve a test drive.
Absolutely. You can find all this stuff that we've been blathering about at autotrader.com. There's a whole editorial section on there. And videos and all kinds of great stuff. Brian Moody's the executive editor. Does a great job. He's very passionate. Nice job, Brian. You're the real deal.
I do my best.
An investigative reporter he is. All right. We got another hour to go. Autotrader.com. Not a sponsor of the show, but it's where I've always gone for 25 years to make sure that the car I want and I'm paying market value. And I'd use Kelley Blue Book. See what the market's doing. See what the Blue Book says. I would come out an educated buyer. All right. Again, thank you, Brian. I'm Alan Taylor.
Later.
This is The Drive. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
You know, last hour we were talking about Ford Motor Company not building cars anymore. Not SUVs and trucks, but they're just talking about not building cars as much. They're going to keep the Mustang, which is a fantabulous machine. But this is a bizarre thing. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about that for a moment with BJ Colleen, automotive expert extraordinaire. Yo, baby.
Hey, what's happening?
So I was talking with Brian Moody from Auto Trader, who, you know, we were talking about, you know, what can you buy that's got a V8 under the hood instead of a V6, you know, kind of wimpified machine that they're, you know, they're trying to push all this electric and, you know, four cylinder and the EcoBoost that and this, that and the other. And I get it. Look, and I don't completely disagree with it, but I feel like, of course, you know, Dodge is a sponsor. So everybody's going to go, oh, Dodge sponsors the show. So of course you're going to say that. But I feel like Dodge has kind of got it right. They're going, everybody's zigging and Dodge is zagging. They're, you know, 797 horsepower, 840 horsepower, 707. I mean, it's like, 707's the wimp right now of Dodge's lineup, which is funny, right? So And they're selling them as fast as they can build them. Look, with the Demon, I mean, we saw one at Barrett Jackson a couple weeks ago, $200,000. I've got one. I'm happy. It's got a big old fat V8. Right?
You know, those are specialty cars, though. Okay, so keep that in mind. But the truth is, you can get a 3.5-liter EcoBoost V6 that pumps out almost 500 horsepower and 500 pound-feet
of torque. I know, but it doesn't sound the same. Do you know what I'm saying?
And I understand. Yes, absolutely. There's nothing like that rumble as the Challenger comes down the road, you know, or even race cars. Because, you know, we were I was at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway yesterday working on an event. And, you know, they're racing these Maseratis and Ferraris around the track. And those just sound awesome, too. So we are losing that sound. There's no question. But, you know, the manufacturers are trying to give you that sound quality by pumping some of it into the cabin. You know, the Mustang does that. And a couple of the manufacturers do that as well. So even though you're losing a little bit, you're still getting the feel, the visceral feel of it inside the vehicle. But there is nothing like a V8. Yeah. Unfortunately, they're dinosaurs, and they're probably on their way out. Not too many of them will be around.
But wait a minute. Please, don't start people calling them dinosaurs. I don't think it's true. Honestly, look what they can do with the Chevy pickup with the you know, the V8 engine getting 24, 25 miles to the gallon. It's not that much of a dinosaur. They just need to keep on working on it. The way they're working on all these other stupid things that they got. Look at, and this is not anything new. I remember when cars were, you know, as heavy as they are today or heavier and getting pretty good fuel economy. The Crown Victoria was a perfect example. The old cop cars, those things got like 22, 23 miles to the gallon, and they had big old honking V8s, and they were full framed cars, big giant monsters, weighed 5,000 pounds. It's like, this is not anything new. Now, of course, today they've got all the emissions on their backs and all that. I get it. But with cylinder deactivation and stuff that they have today and the ability to have variable valve timing and, you know, changing the engineering of the car that way and the electronics and all that stuff, I think they could continue to work and whittle away on that wonderful V8 engine. Who's with me on this? Do I hear an amen? Come on, the guys and gals out there.
I'll give you an A and a men, but not together because because the truth, you know, V8 engines, you got to realize they're also very heavy, you know, and so that contributes. And the emissions is one thing, too, because, you know, and not just touting that the EcoBoost is, it's just the EcoBoost is a well-known popular engine, but it gets good fuel economy and it helps reduce emissions as well. And it's lightweight. I mean, they can get a really small packaging on that EcoBoost engine. I mean, so they're putting it in trucks, you know. I mean, we're going to aluminum bodies. So everybody's got to chase weight because if the government comes down hard on them, I mean, they haven't decided whether these CAFE standards are going to stay in effect for 2025, where they have to get 54.5 miles to the gallon on their corporate average fuel economy. So, you know, Dodge may be in a world of hurt because, you know, selling small cars. I don't know if Dodge is selling a lot of small cars. You know, the Dart went away, and I know that they've got the Fiat that are little cars too. So, and I know, but you know, they've got to think of the big picture. So,
you're hurting me with all this common sense stuff. Oh, stop it! It's logic. She's using logic on me. Enough. Take a break. Okay. Escape. Pull the ripcord. Back to V8s. That's where I want to go. Sorry. What noises I make in this studio. All right. BJ, Colleen, and I'll be right back. I hate it when you make sense. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet, the new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. This is called There She Goes Again. There She Goes Again. BJ, Colleen joining us. There She Goes Again, making perfect sense out of my insanity and making me feel a little bit crazy for saying things like I do. But you know what? I get it. I get it. I just love the sound of a V8. So that means that I am going to be that guy that will always be paying too much for V8 powered or V10 powered or V12 powered cars. Maybe not V12. But anyway, BJ.
Well, I don't want you to think that I don't love the sound of a V8, because I will happily and gladly get in one and thrash it as hard as I can around a track. I love them. I love the V12s. I love them all. So don't think I don't love them, and I don't have a soft spot in my heart for them. But the world is a turning, Alan.
Yeah,
and we got to jump on board. Otherwise, you know, you get left behind, and you don't.
And here's the deal. As much as I say what I say, and then when I go get into something, like I just drove the new Volvo S60, right? It's all new. Yeah. And, you know, they make them in hybrid to where when it's supercharged and turbocharged and hybrid, so you're adding that electrification of the automobile, and Volvo's going to be really pushing hard on that, because I think this S60 is the last gasoline only, in other words, not dual mode, you might say, electric and gas, the last gasoline only car. I'm pretty sure I heard them say that, but it's 415 horsepower. And so you take a four cylinder that has 415 horsepower with the electrification, and you're like, holy crap, that's pretty good. You know, and then it almost drives itself. Literally, it has lane keep assist, so it'll keep you in the center of the lane. Here's the problem. Is you realize how bad of a driver you are when all those nannies are on, because they're always going, hey, you idiot. Hey, you idiot. Hey, you idiot. And that's what it feels like to me. Cause I'm like driving all over the place and it's trying to keep me in my lane. And then I change lanes without blinkers. And it's like, hey, you idiot. And it's shoving me back into the right lane. And I'm like, you, what are you doing? I'm having an argument with a car. I've talked about this before, but what it's doing is it's actually reminding us just how sloppy drivers we are when we don't use our blinkers, we're not paying attention, whether you're, you know, checking something on your phone you shouldn't ought to be. Yes, I'm guilty, but you know what I'm saying. It's the radio, the satellite radio, Facebook, or whatever, you know, because bing, you get all these little notifications. Your car is like yelling. Actually, you know what? I'm going to record this for them. Here's Volvo. Here's what you should do. Hey, you idiot, what are you doing? The car should say that to you in that exact voice.
Well, maybe not that voice, because they're Swedish. So you might want to, you know.
Like, hey, you stupid butterfly. What are you doing?
I would do it. don't do that.
Yeah. By the way, and I just want to give a plug for a second. Volvo has made a beautiful V60 station wagon. V is the nomenclature, you might say, for their station wagons.
Right.
60 is the kind of the middle of the road. They make a 40, a 60, and a 90, right? And then they make their SUVs. So, but X-Vs. This, right? So this is their middle of the road V90 wagon, and they made the wheelbase really long, and they brought the roof down really low, and it looks sinister. Here's a station wagon, everybody, that looks like has this sinister stance to it. And I'm looking at this thing going, that is an awesome looking station wagon. And it's funny because station wagons are kind of cool again. I don't know why.
Well, I've always been a station wagon fan. I grew up with station wagons, you know, Ford Country Squire wagons.
Yeah.
I learned to drive on a Pinto wagon. You know, we've always had wagons because you got four kids in the family. You're always going to have a wagon. And I absolutely love them. And, you know, the Dodge Magnum came out with that wagon. And then Buick actually has the Tour X, actually has a little wagon kind of thing. So I think it's a tough sell now because people still like sitting up a little bit higher with the SUVs. But I've always been a wagon person, and I've always loved wagons.
Yeah.
So it's up my alley.
I don't know if I can talk about the driving impressions yet. I think they're still embargoed a little bit.
Probably.
But all I can say is, yowza, baby. Nice car. Nice job, Volvo. Again, lots of horsepower for a four-cylinder engine. They make them in a turbo and supercharged, and then turbo, supercharged, and hybrid, so electrification, which then it really, I mean, what a difference. So they're winning me over by doing great combinations of, you know, efficiencies, like very efficient, good fuel economy, and still giving me the horsepower that a gearhead guy like me needs. You know what we didn't do?
What?
We didn't let you talk about the car that you were going to talk about, which was the Kia Forte. We'll do that in the next segment.
Okay.
See, this is how I stretch it out and make you be on the show for three full segments. And here is here's some music from my old producer, Jared. It's called Vampire Weekend. I don't know. It's just bizarre stuff. But anyway, it is The Drive. We'll be right back and talk about this new Kia Forte that BJ drove. It's The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, all across America, around the world, and there's more coming soon. I won't tell you about it now. Maybe a TV show. Oh, well. If it doesn't happen, who cares? Anyway, I'm thinking about doing that. Our show is brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. Also, Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. We got good sponsors. Damn it. I'm lucky. BJ Colleen is here. She is the automotive expert that I trust the most. You know why? Because Scott told me if I didn't, he'd punch me in the throat. How's Scott doing, by the way, BJ?
Scott is out SEMA-sizing.
Oh, so by the way, this is a real thing that this man does. SEMA is the big automotive trade show we've been talking about on the show today, but it's the Specialty Equipment Market Association. And typically, I think Scott probably, what does he walk, like 10 miles a day or more? 20 miles a day at SEMA. He's a professional photographer, big guy. He's worked with Hot Rod and all the best magazines for the last probably 30 plus years. Don't want to date the guy. Anyway, actually, he's a good-looking man. I might date him, but anyway, that's another story.
No,
he's your husband.
Yeah, he's the head photographer for the SEMA show every year. So he's out there getting the creative stuff. So if you won't see him because he'll be running by you. He doesn't stop and say hi to anybody.
No, he doesn't. He takes a picture and moves on. And his picture, he's phenomenal. And he's also, and BJ does a book called The Build Book. I know there's a new one coming out soon. When?
Yep. We're hoping that just after the beginning of the year, it's on the big red Camaro, the winningest Camaro in history. And it's actually going to be a super build book. We're real close to 300 pages right now.
Holy mackerel.
Another 100 pages on top of what we usually do.
Well, because there was some extraordinary things that happened with that car. But we'll tell the world when it happens, when it's available.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, SEMA sizing. He's out exercising. He goes for like these long, gigantic, long walks so that he can, when SEMA comes, which is the last couple of days of October and the first 2 days of November, the guy can walk this freaking 20 miles a day taking photos. Without, you know, having bloody stumps when he's done. Anyway, God bless him. He's a good man. Happy birthday to him, by the way, last week to the world nationwide. This is one of my favorite human beings on earth. So tell him I said happy birthday. So you drove a Kia Forte and everybody's like, that's like the most, like one of the most affordable cars out there. Has a 100,000-mile, 10-year warranty or something like that. Kia's got best owner satisfaction, I think, over Mercedes and Porsche and all those guys, initial satisfaction. So Kia's doing some really great stuff. How was this new car?
You know, this is the 2019 Kia Forte. I had the S trim level, and there's actually four modes, and this is the one step below the top EX line. And I'm really, really sorry that I looked at the Monroney at the price before I got in the car. Because if I had gotten in this car before I looked at this price, I would have swore it was a $35,000 automobile. Mm. And I got in the car, and as tested, it's $22,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I am, first of all, you're blown away by the styling. It's very sleek. It's a four-door sedan with a trunk, but it looks like a coupe. I mean, Peter Schreier, their chief designer, really has just got a tremendous eye for what's going to work. And so, you know, sometimes you get an inexpensive vehicle, you get in a lower end, you know, model, because it's just the one step above the Rio model that they have. And you think, oh, you know, I'm sacrificing. I get a car that doesn't look as good. It just looks like something I get in a rental fleet. That is absolutely not the case with this Rio Forte. It's just, I mean, the Kia Forte, it's absolutely stunning. I mean, really, really impressive. And then you get inside and you look at the quality and you go, this is higher than a $20,000 automobile. And the actual starting price for the FE is around $17,000. So you can get this great looking vehicle under $20,000, which is hard to say anymore. So
yeah.
I got in the car and, you know, it doesn't have the biggest engine. It's a 2-liter engine. It's multi-port fuel injection, nothing fancy about it. It's got a CVT transmission, which basically means, you know, the gears are continuous, so you don't really be shifting, even though it feels like it, because it has a little sport mode, which is kind of...
and CVT is continuously variable, and the reason why they do that, by the way, is a couple of things, actually. It will take the RPMs to the most efficient place for the engine to move the car forward and still get you the best fuel economy. And then the engine, the transmission actually lasts longer than a regular transmission. I've heard that for years.
Yes, and that's absolutely true. And it's proven here because you have a vehicle that gets 30 miles in the city and 40 miles per gallon on the highway. So it is really impressive. And we were doing about 38, and, you know, I drove down to Arizona and back in the vehicle. And, I mean, it had 147 horsepower, 132 pound-feet of torque. So it's not, you know, it's not going up against your Dodge Demon. There's sure. no doubt about it. Not even close. But, you know, it moves on down the road. It's got enough power to do it. The car is quiet. It's solid. It just feels good. The handling is great. I mean, I loved almost everything about this vehicle. And, you know, for $22,000, you can forgive the couple things that I didn't care for. For one, the only way you can get a power seat on this is if you go up to the EX model. So I would like to see an option for the power seat, because to reach the adjuster, you have to almost get your hand on the ground. And, you know, I have little T-Rex arms. I can't reach anything. So
you've got alligator arms.
I got T-Rex. You know, they're really short.
Yeah.
And so trying to get that bar to adjust for the seat is kind of tough for me. But
you just painted a terrible picture. Short arms.
That's my nickname is T-Rex, because my arms are so short I can't reach anything. So, but that's usually the biggest complaint I have about the vehicle. The audio is good. The steering feels good because you can change the drive modes, yeah. You know, you can go with the Sport. So, you know, for as tested 22,410, I mean, this is the deal of the lifetime. If you don't drive this and you're in the market for a sedan about this price, you're really making a big mistake.
Well, that's why both of us always tell people, go out and test drive these things. You won't regret it. All right, BJ, thank you. Kia Forte, nice little car. She gives it a double thumbs up. I'm Alan Taylor. Thank you, BJ. We'll be right back after this.
You can spend this fall hauling bags of leaves to the curb or hauling. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealership for great deals on Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower and 30 mpg highway. Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Dodge Durango. This fall, get great deals at your local Dodge dealership. EPA estimated MPG. Actual results may vary based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
That's right. It is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Craftsman. What is their slogan now? Guess what? We build pride. And the reason why is because they really take it seriously now. Many, many, many of their products are made in America. All I can tell you is the new Craftsman, since it's been purchased by Stanley Black & Decker, and they also own DeWalt, they own Mac Tools, they own Proto, they own 11 different tool companies. They get it. Craftsman. Dave Hall's joining us right now. Restore a Muscle Car, restoreamusclecar.com. Out of Nebraska. Whereabouts in Nebraska are you? I keep forgetting.
North edge of Lincoln, Nebraska.
I got to come visit sometime. I've seen pictures of the shop. I've seen you on television with people. All I can say is that if I was a little bit closer to you, I would be in that shop all the time, probably sleeping, bunk bed somewhere. That's a nice shop you got.
But, thanks. Yeah, we got a lot going on.
No doubt. One of the things you you know, the reason why I want to talk to you, a couple reasons actually, is one, first of all, you were friends with Burt Reynolds and we lost him recently. I want to talk about that. Two, because at Barrett-Jackson, you walked by, we had the Smokey and the Bandit, one of Burt Reynolds' cars that sold at Barrett-Jackson for, I think the hammer price was like $175, and if you add the fees to it, it's, you know, I don't know, $180, $191, whatever it is, almost $200,000, right?
Yep.
So, but you've also, with Burt Reynolds, when we were together with Burt last time, sold one for $250,000. So maybe give us a couple of minutes on the car that you just sold. Was it a customer car? Was it Burt's car? Talk about this for a minute.
We actually had four cars that were titled in Burt's name that sold at Barrett-Jackson just recently in Las Vegas.
Right.
And the one that we had pull up to your stage was a 78 Trans Am. It was actually built to be used along with a couple other vehicles that were sold there that we used on the road with Burt over the last several years. So it was on the Bandit Run with us at multiple signings and car shows, events that Burt was part of, even different celebrity events that he partaked in. The car was put together and built to look exactly like the movie car. So it had the CB set up, the scanner, the antenna on the roof,
right.
You know, everything to look just like the 77, you know, Bandit Trans Am used in the movie. And was signed by Burt in a couple of different locations, titled in his name. It was actually, used all over the country, you know, whether it was driven or just trailered to different events, along with his trailer and stuff that we used to sell off, you know, some shirts and merchandise and stuff like that. Some of the signings, I know we had it on display at Barrett-Jackson down in Florida when we were down there in West Palm. And then that's when we decided when we were there that Burt wanted us to, if we were done with the use of that car, that, you know, this fall in September, we were going to bring Burt out to Vegas and sell off a few of his pieces along with the truck, the big Chevy Dually truck that was actually recreated that looked just like the one that was used in the Cannonball Run. And then also the red Trans Am with the jet motor and stuff in it from the Hooper movie was a recreated car, too. And those were basically three vehicles that, you know, if they all weren't with him at different events, they were, you know, randomly available and stuff there. And then the 84 Trans Am that we sold at Barrett was a black 84 that was actually a car that that he was partners with for his football team, the Tampa Bay Bandits, that he was a part of back in the day. And they had two of those cars, and this was one of them, and it was one that we had had here at the shop that we had took through a mild restoration and stuff to kind of bring it back to life, and had been sitting for quite a few years. But it was signed by Jerry Reed and Burt years ago, and just a neat, you know, kind of an old, a different style of a Bandit car, so to speak. So,
well, so let me ask you something there. What was Burt Reynolds like to work with? I mean, you worked with him for a number of years.
Yeah, over a decade.
Really?
Wow.
Didn't know.
Yeah. Yep. Burt and I, you know, years ago when we first started the Bandit Run event, you know, we kind of got involved with him, because we started taking the Bandit Run, you know, he, to him, or he would get involved, and he liked to know what we were doing and stuff with the event, traveling across the country in our Trans Ams and basically kind of recreating what he did in the movie, Smokey and the Bandit. And, you know, the Bandit Run was just a way for us to get our cars out and drive them on the road. And Burt really liked that we were doing that and, you know, felt a big, you know, part of that. And at the time, year one was creating the Burt Reynolds Edition Trans Am, and so that's kind of how we teamed up with them a little bit. We helped with building some of those cars that were basically taking, you know, a 77 Trans Am and making it modernized with all modern drivetrain suspension and stuff like that. It was kind of a year one project that they had outsourced some of the you know, custom work to us, and then they would finish them up down there at their facility. You know, and as the years kind of went by, Burt, you know, and I kind of worked together on whether it was different cars or, you know, situations that he was in. He was not involved a lot in the car community over the years. You know, being an actor, obviously, he's in, you know, into the movies and in that circle. So getting him involved into car shows and signings at car events and auctions and things of that nature was something that basically myself and some friends of mine from the Bandit Run and another business that Bert and them had formed called Bandit Movie Cars that we used to help basically keep, you know, Bert involved in the classic car world and right. introducing him to those people and at different events and car shows and the auctions especially. So, you know, people started reaching out to us to, you know, when they'd run across some of these cars that were a part of a movie that Bert was a part of and wanting him to be involved with it. And so we helped, you know, helped him understand, you know, how it all worked and started taking him to Barrett Jackson. And, you know, we sold a few different cars out there, whether they were ones that, that he was either involved with in a movie or that were used with him at some different events, you know, just yeah. depending on the use.
All right, hold tight. Burt Reynolds, you know, wow. I think it was a shock to all of us that, you know, the man passed. And it's like he's one of those guys that we wanted him to live much, much longer, selfishly. My time with him, because of Dave Hall here, was fantastic. I'll never forget it. And you know, I mean, the guy's no angel or anything, but, you know, when I grew up, he was Smokey and the Bandit, for goodness sakes. We'll come back and talk more with Dave Hall from Restora Muscle Car. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. And, of course, Smokey and the Bandit, one of the most iconic movies any car guy could have watched back in the day for me. Of course, they went through my hometown in Ojai, California, while I was in high school, my senior year. And we remember watching him make that movie and got to have a glimpse of Burt Reynolds. And of course, we did lose him here recently, but his cars will live on for forever. And they have just sold a few more at Barrett Jackson. Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction and exhibition. I've been working with them for almost 25 years. I get to run the live stage there, the Motor Trend live stage that streams live after the cars go off the auction block. They get sold, the hammer drops, they come over onto my stage. And Dave Hall was nice enough to come over and talk with us. Dave's a friend. And but I want to ask you real quick before we run out of time, what's going to happen? Was there ever a conversation you had with Burt Reynolds that will stand out in your mind as, you know, the guy was my friend? On top of everything else, he was a cool guy. He was my friend. And I'll never forget this conversation or something like that. You know what I mean? I just told you mine, right?
You know, there was a lot of things about Burt that I'll never forget. But probably one of the things that stood out the most to me, that impressed me the most about Burt, was he was a book reader, and he would go through books, a stack of books in a day. And the guy was, he had all his brains and smarts and wit about him. And when you would sit down to talk with him and bring up an event, a story, a film, something from his past, he would get into detail that you couldn't believe that he could recall. Yeah. The guy was super smart and very much a gentleman with everybody he ever met whenever we were around, especially with the ladies. But just, you know, sitting and talking to him and just hearing his viewpoint on things. And he was, you know, very much into reading, very much into watching the movies, very much into critiquing, you know, how actors, you know, worked and how he could make them better. And he was a teacher. So yeah. He was always trying to educate people on how to be better and what they did. And especially if it was things that he was passionate about and knew very well, and then putting that control in, giving them the control that they didn't think that they were ready for or needed, and seeing them succeed. Yeah. And hearing that story over and over again with not only from him and some of the people and actors he's worked with, but just, you know, even hearing them from his friends and right. those actors themselves. And, you know, being around Bert, you could see that he was very much a giving person, yeah. Southern gentleman, and always there to help more than you could expect. And he remembered a lot and knew a lot.
I love that. You know, as a matter of fact, it just occurred to me, I have that interview I did with him 2 years ago, this coming up January, when he sold, when you were there, and of course, Richard Rollins, who is also infatuated with Burt Reynolds and has one of his hats, and, you know, cowboy hats, that is. And so I think what I'll do is in the last segment of the show today, I'm going to play my interview with him talking about, you know, his cars and what it was like. I asked him a couple of questions, you know, the biggest mistake he ever made. And, of course, I think all of us know it was not hooking up with Sally Field properly. And but I think I'm going to play that. All right, so we'll save that in just a couple of minutes after the next break. I'll play the interview I did with Burt Reynolds as just an homage to him now. And let me ask you real quick. SEMA is coming up in just a couple of weeks. Are you doing anything special, taking any cars there? Are you just going to go and spectate, or what do you got on track for SEMA?
I do not have any cars going out there this year. I will definitely be there for the week. We go every year. Usually we'll take one or two cars, and we're so busy in the shop and stuff right now that we just haven't had time to have a vehicle done that we could get out there. But we're, you know, working with some stuff that Levrax, the company that I work with, Dennis Collins and Richard Rollins on, you know, their shows and their shops and stuff. And they're a local company here to me that I introduced to those guys. And they have a booth set up out there with, I know that Dennis put a Hellcat motor in a Jeep.
Yeah, he was on the show earlier, by the way. He talked about, what is it called, Levrack?
Levrack, yes. There are some local farmers that live right here, just down the road from me here, outside of Lincoln. And they basically designed a storage system that works off of pallet racking that makes it very convenient to just put a lot more stuff in a smaller space. And it works out really nice in a shop environment and a home garage. And so on Richard's show, Garage Rehab, we thought it would be a great fit for them to use it. So I had those guys reach out to them and kind of show them what they had, and they liked it. And so they pulled them on the show and been using them now for probably about a year at a lot of the different locations. And, you know, I mean, I have it all over my shop and stuff here. I know Dennis just put it in this summer down in his shop.
Yeah.
And it's really good stuff. And it's, just helps, you know, when you tear apart a car, I always tell people, you know, it's going to take up four times the amount of space that a car does when it's together.
Right.
So,
absolutely. What is the website for them? Do you know? Is it Levrack? Levrack?
The website for Levrack is Levrack.com.
Too easy. All right. Well, Dave Hall, good man. RestoreAMuscleCar.com. RestoreAMuscleCar.com. You guys, his fantastic shop, fantastic work. Thank you for introducing me to Burt Reynolds. And coming up next, I'm going to play that interview I did 2 years ago, January, when he sold his Trans Am for $250,000. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning. Stylish. Sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT. Fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, 2 years ago, I got to interview Burt Reynolds at Barrett Jackson, the collector car auction in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's coming up in January again. What an amazing dude he is. We've lost him. We know that. And in watching his latest car sell, it brought $175,000. But the car that sold that day that I got a chance to talk to Burt Reynolds was the car is Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am. Sold for $250,000. And I want to play the interview that I did so you can have one last chance to say goodbye to Burt, hear his voice, and hear what he thought of his beloved Trans Am. And I asked him, what do you think about that car?
I love this car. I love it.
Yeah.
And it just gets prettier and faster every year.
So as far as the car selling, you're going to put it for charity? What's the plan to do next?
Yeah.
What's the next
phase? If there's a lot of money, it'll go to charity.
Ah.
Just a little bit of money, I'll probably keep it.
Well, you look great. How do you feel?
Thank you. I feel great.
Good, good. And then as far as future movies, you got anything going on?
I'm going to do two in a row. They're both, one in Georgia and one in Florida. Both comedies and both, I said, let me do a family film. I'm so tired of killing people. So I'm doing a couple of family pictures, really sweet pictures.
Nice. Now, as far as your life history, what is the favorite thing you've done? Sports? Making movies?
To Sally Field.
There you go.
Wow, what a sweet, wonderful gal.
Yeah. Do you remember making the movie Smokey and the Bandit?
Of course I do. I remember every minute. You know, we read the script together, Hal and I, and Hal wrote it. And I said, Hal, this is the worst script I've ever read. But I said, if you just let us ad-lib and have fun, you know, just have fun. He said, you can do anything you want. So Sally happens to be a great ad-libber, and Gleason, forget it. You know, you just step back and let him steal a scene.
Yeah.
Couldn't take it anyway. Then we had all these other wonderful, Mel Tillis, you know, Mel.
Yeah.
We had this director. He wasn't a real likable guy. So he says to Mel, cut the stutter. I said, come here. And I grabbed the guy. I took him around behind the building. I said, look, he was born with a stutter. He can't cut the stutter. Don't treat him like that. I'm going to have to kill you. So we go back, and the guy doesn't stutter at all. I mean, he doesn't stutter at all. I said,
made you look like a liar.
Yeah, I said, what happened to the stutter?
Right.
He said, well, you know, when I get really nervous, I don't stutter.
Isn't that funny, right?
Yeah, but I look like the, you know.
You and Sally looked like you had such great chemistry in that movie.
Fabulous.
I mean, it didn't look like acting. I mean, it was. There must have been something real there, was there?
Yeah, there was a lot real there.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot real there with everybody. You know, I mean, we had all these people that I've been friends of all my life. And still are. God love them.
Well, you're just one of our favorite guys, and we love that you're at Barrett Jackson with us here, celebrating the car hobby with one of your, obviously, there's three cars here, but one that is so near and dear to your heart. And, you know, the world has evolved so much. And today we have cars that are going to be driving themselves. What do you think of that? Is that exciting or is that weird? Or
I'm not crazy about them driving themselves when I'm available. But, you know, I think these cars are so damn gum beautiful, you know. I mean, they're just, I'll never forget when it came out of the truck and Jerry hadn't seen it. And he said, honey, hush, look at that. And I said, you want one, son? He said, oh, will you buy me one? I said, if this picture's a hit, I'll buy one.
Nice.
Well, unfortunately, I had to buy him one.
There you go. Well, that's not a bad thing, is it, Bert?
No.
Well, here we have the great Burt Reynolds, and he's still just as fun a guy as he's ever been. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been
a pleasure.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
There you go. Well, there you have it. The great Burt Reynolds. Godspeed, Burt. And this, of course, one of my favorite songs of all time. Jerry Reed, great job. And so we're just going to Let it play for a little bit. All right. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive.
The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.